We'll turn to 2 Thessalonians, the chapter number 2. We'll take a number of verses here at the end of the chapter and then into the chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, thank you for joining with us. We're glad of your fellowship here in the gospel, and we trust that God will bless us as we get down to a time of prayer together. But we want to look at the word, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading at the verse 15 of the chapter. The Apostle Paul writing here, he says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. For our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Amen, and we'll end our reading at the end of the verse number 5. You know, tonight we come to our second Wednesday night that is given over to the seeking mercies and the seeking of mercies from God with regard to the gospel mission planned in the month of October. And so with that in mind, I want to briefly turn your attention to some words that we find at the opening of the chapter number 3 of 2 Thessalonians. Now you'll know from previous messages that we have preached with regard to the prayers of the Apostle Paul that God's servant prayed many a prayer for these saints in the city of Thessalonica. But here the tables are turned, because rather than Paul's or God's servant praying for the saints of God, he makes requests that they would pray for him. I suppose the saying is, every good turn deserves another, as it were. And he, having prayed for them, he now asks them to pray for him. He says there in the verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." I thought of these verses. The Lord drew them to my attention as I considered them. I thought them to be most fitting as we think of the opportunity that will come our way within the gospel mission. Certainly, if I was one of the two evangelists that was coming to preach in the gospel mission, I would want this prayer to be offered up on my behalf by this assembly of believers, that the word of God and the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. I want to leave you with three brief thoughts from Paul's prayer request here in the verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians in the chapter number 3. In these words, we have, first of all, the thought of partnership. There is a thought of partnership within the words of the Apostle Paul. "Brethren, pray for us." I believe there's partnership on two levels identified here in these words. In the first instance, there is a partnership here between Paul and his fellow laborers. Notice the word "us," the pronoun "thus." "Brethren, pray for us." Paul was aware that there were others who were assisting him in this great task of propagating and publishing the gospel. Paul certainly did not have this idea, fueled by his own self-ego, that he headed up a one-man ministry. Paul valued the friendship, the help, the assistance, and the ministry of others, and was aware that such people needed as much the prayers of the people of God as he did. Though he, as it were was the leader, And the man at the forefront of evangelism in the early New Testament church, Paul recognized that he himself was not the only one who was preaching the gospel. And so he asked these Thessalonian believers that they would pray not only for him, but that they would pray also for his co-helpers, his fellow laborers. Now, who were these fellow helpers, these fellow laborers? Well, you can turn just to the chapter 1 of this second epistle and you'll read who they are. It's 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an individual called Silvanus. This is believed to be Silas. And then we have Timotheus. Of course, this is Timothy. And at this particular junction within Paul's life, he was being helped, he was being assisted by these two individuals. And as I've said, both Silas and Timothy needed as much the prayers of the people of God as did Paul, the one who was spearheading evangelistic endeavor in the New Testament, early New Testament era. You know, brethren and sisters, it's good, it's necessary, it's essential that you pray for your minister. And I can say that such is deeply appreciated by myself. But as you pray for me, pray for others. Pray for others who are involved in the same task to which I am involved in. Pray for every faithful ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ within and without our denomination. Pray that God will unite God's servants in the great task that he has entrusted to us, namely the preaching of the word and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as we think of the gospel mission, as we make our way towards us, let us pray for the men who will come to pray. Brethren, they would say to you tonight if they were here, brethren, sisters, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray that God will unite us and that God will use us in the great task to which he has called us to in the preaching of the gospel. Pray that the messages that are given will be God-given. Pray that their delivery will be God-empowered. Pray that our labors will be God-blessed. Pray that our fruit will be God-ordained and enduring. And so there is this thought, this level of partnership, or this thought of partnership on the level of Paul and his fellow laborers. They worked together and they required the prayers of God's people. And these men will enter in to the labors of this preacher and they'll need our prayers. Brethren, pray for us. Let's pray for these men. But in the second instance, there is partnership here, I believe, between Paul and the Thessalonian believers. Paul addresses here the saints in our verse as brethren. And as members of the same family, he requests that they would pray for him and his friends. You see, Paul saw the value of the prayers of others. By their praying for Paul and his companions, these believers were as vital to the success of the gospel as Paul was in the preaching of the gospel. Let me repeat that again. Paul realized that by their praying, these believers were as vital to the success of the gospel as Paul was in the preaching of it. You know, too often, fellow believers can say, all I can do is pray. All I can do is pray. As if prayer was unimportant, as if prayer was a lesser task than the preaching of the gospel. Brethren and sisters, prayer is critical, vital to the furtherance of the gospel. We need to pray. And we need to pray for God's blessing upon the preaching of the word. Brother, sister, if that's all you can do is pray, well then pray. Seek for God's blessing upon the propagation of the gospel. Now, admittedly, prayer is different than preaching, but it's not any less important. Not any less important. The two go hand in hand together. They're married together. God has joined them, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Prayer and preaching. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what was said about those men there in Acts chapter 6. Whenever there was a contention among the Grecian and the Hebrew widows, and there was the dealing off it, the Hebrew widows were getting more than the Grecians, and then there was decided that deacons would be elected and selected to help out in that practical task within the church. But the apostle says, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They go hand in hand, prayer and the word. I read this comment that highlights how prayer and preaching work together. Prayer speaks to God for man. Preaching speaks to man for God. Prayer seeks to bring God to man. Preaching aims to bring man to God. Prayer moves God towards man. Preaching persuades men to seek after God. Prayer makes known unto God man's request. Preaching reveals to man God's mind and will. Preaching casts in the seed. Prayer brings the rain and the sunshine. Preaching utters the good things, good tidings. Prayer carries the sound to the ear and makes that all sensitive. Preaching is doing the practical work which man can do. Prayer asks for what God only can do and for that which is necessary to the success of that which the man can do. And so they go hand in hand, prayer and preaching. And while I'll not be preaching and while you'll not be preaching in the mission, thank God we can pray for those who will be. We are laborers together in this endeavor. Not only in the mission, but in the work of God. A partnership must form between preacher and congregation. I reap what you sow and what we sow in prayer. A partnership needs to form between those who are preaching and those who are praying. Do you remember that great event there in Exodus chapter 17? We have the children of Israel, they're in the valley, some of them. They're in the valley of Rephidim. Joshua's there, he's leading up the battle. But there's Moses on top of the mountain. And as he stands on the top of the mountain, he raises his hands towards heaven and begins to pray. And as his hands begin to fall, the battle turns against the children of Israel in the valley. They're on the retreat. And seeing that Aaron and Hur, they rally to God's servant. Then they hold up the hands of the man of God. And as a result, the battle is won by Joshua. Can I say that success that day was down to the fervent supplicating of Moses rather than the fighting strategy of Joshua? And so it will be in this mission. And in every gospel endeavor, success in the gospel often correlates with the prayers of the saints. And so may we be much in prayer. May we be much in prayer. There is this thought of a togetherness in these words, a thought of coming together. But in the second place, we have the thought of progression, progression. Paul asked these believers to pray that the word of God would have free course. To pray, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. The phrase, free course, literally translates to mean to run, to run. The idea came from the runner of the Grecian games. Paul asked these believers to pray that the Word of God might swiftly progress like a Grecian runner in the Grecian Games and meet with no obstruction as it does so. Paul desires that the gospel, as it were, would run into the hearts of men and women as he would preach it, and that it would meet with no hindrances along the way. This thought of the Word having feet, this ability of the Word being able to run, is not only found here in the New Testament, but is found in the Old Testament. Look there at Psalm 147 and the verse 15. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And the verse is the verse number 15. The Word of God says, Psalm 147, verse 15, He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth. His Word runneth very swiftly. There it is again, this thought of the Word of God running or having free course. And beloved, we could pray for this. We could pray for the progression, for the advancement of the gospel as it is preached week after week and in the gospel. We could pray that the Word, as it were, will take legs to itself and it would run swiftly into the hearts of those who hear it. Thank God that is happening in these days. Thrilling to our hearts to hear of people being saved in gospel missions over recent days. People being saved over there in Macrofelt in a tent campaign. Think of souls that have professed faith down there in the Newton Lords mission that's going on at this present moment of time. Another soul saved in the Dundonald mission that occurred in the Sandown congregation just over a week ago. The Word of God has feet. It's running, brethren and sisters. The Word isn't, as it were, marching in the spot, but rather it's got feet, it's running into the hearts of men and women. And oh, that it would run swiftly in these days, capturing the hearts and lives of individuals. Now, there's many a hindrance. We don't need to rehearse them all. Of course, we know them well. Many a hindrance to the Word of God in these days. We think of the sinner's unbelief. We think of the sinner's prejudice. Think of the sinner's sin. Think of the sinner's hardness of heart. We think of the sinner's religious superstition. We think of the sinner's superstition or skepticism. We think of the sinner's ignorance, to name but a few. And then we think of the wicked one. He wants to come and take away the seed of the Word when it's preached. He furnishes the sinner with many an excuse why they ought not to receive the truth of God's Word. And yet all these obstacles can be overcome. They must be overcome, and they will be as a result of the prayers of God's people. As we pray that the Word of God will run, or the Word of God will have free course. You know, brethren and sisters, we need to pray that it would have free course in our own lives. No point in praying that it will have free course in the lives of the ungodly. If we as God's people do not desire that it will have free course or run into our hearts and into our lives. And so we need to pray that first and foremost, that the Word will have free course in our lives. And then, having had it, as it were, running into our own hearts and impacting our own lives, we need to pray that it will have free course in the lives of our families and in our neighborhoods in which we live, among our own countrymen and women, among those from other nations who have come to live among us, as well as among the nations of the world, that the Word would run in these days. Well, let's pray for progression and advancement, the gospel in these days, reaching areas and districts and regions and nations and people that we never thought it could ever reach. Oh God, may thy Word have free course in these days. That's what we ought to pray. And so there is the idea of progression. The Word isn't on retreat. Thank God the Word is marching on. The truth is marching on. The truth of the gospel is marching on, taking ground of the enemy. And so there is the thought of progression. The third and final thought from this prayer is the thought of prosperity. Thought of prosperity. These Christians, they were encouraged by the apostle to pray that the word of the Lord would be glorified, even as it is with you. The word glorified means to render glorious. It means to clothe with splendor. To clothe with splendor. The word of the Lord, brethren and sisters, is a glorious thing in and of itself. But it becomes, as it were, even more glorious when it lays hold on the life of a sinner and it transforms that sinner into a saint. And then for that saint to be transformed, to take on the likeness of Jesus Christ, oh, how glorious the word is then to see the full glory of it, the glory of its impact upon the hearts and lives of individuals. Glorious. And this is the prayer, O God, let the word have feet. Let it run. And let it be clothed with splendor. Let it be rendered glorious among us. I want you to notice Paul does not ask these saints that he or his fellow laborers would be glorified. He doesn't say, finally, brethren, pray for us that we may be glorified. He doesn't pray that. He doesn't ask that. He prays that God's word will be glorified. God's work is not about personalities. It's not about me. Not about you. It's not about the man who'll come to preach. It's about Christ. Let every name perish but his. That ought to be our cry. This is what we need to pray for the mission and beyond, that his name and his word will be glorified. You know, brethren and sisters, sometimes because of the barrenness, maybe in a local congregation or in the nation at large, sometimes our confidence is knocked with regard to the preaching of the gospel. And sometimes we wonder, could the word ever have free course? Could it ever be glorified again? And yet, as Paul asked these people to pray this prayer, they had every confidence that what they were being asked to pray for was possible. You may say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, notice that Paul reminds these people that the word had free course and was glorified among them. Notice what the end of the verse says. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. As it has happened with you. So thank God it can happen again. As it has taken hold of your life, as it has ran into your heart, as it has prospered you and has made you glorious in the fact that glory is brought to God in your salvation and in your likeness and your being made into the likeness of Jesus Christ. You see, these people had proven in their own lives and in their own assembly that such was possible. And Paul was reminding them that what was possible before is possible again. Do you believe that, brethren and sisters? The Spirit of God has worked in your heart. The Word of God ran into your soul. Your soul that was as hardened and as stubborn and as rebellious as your own family members. And the Word of God got a hold of you. Can I not get a hold of them? Even as it is with you. Here's our confidence tonight. Yes, our confidence is in God. Ultimately, penultimately. Of course it is. But brethren and sisters, take a look around you tonight. Look at the characters that are here. Think of their lives before they were converted. Think of their rebellion against God and their hard-heartedness. And their unwillingness to come and hear the gospel. And yet God so worked in their hearts. God can do it again. He can do it again. This isn't some kind of pep talk, brethren and sisters, that I'm giving tonight. This is the reality of it. Paul is saying, there you go. Look at yourselves. Look at the effect. Think of that great city. What happened in that great city? They turned from idols to serve the living God. That's what happened. And Paul said, what happened in your life? I suppose he would have said this if it hadn't been penned. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And he can do for others what he has done for us. You know, there's some people and they frown. They frown. And those who look back to the past and rehearse what God has done in former days. I don't believe that they should do that. God would have us to think about the lives we lived before we were saved. He'd have us to think about how we were saved as an encouragement to us that God can do for others what he did for us. God would have us to look back at the past to fuel our faith, that he would send a breath of his spirit among us as he did in 1859, in the days of Nicholson, in the early years of this denomination, and by doing so that glory would be brought to him. As it was with you, Paul got these people to look back. Even as it is with you. As it was with you and it is with you presently. You pray that what is happening in your heart and what's happening in the hearts of those who worship with you in this church in the city of Thessalonica will happen in the lives of others. John Brown said the following about the gospel. You cannot be neutral in this work. You're either for the gospel or against it. And prayer or the neglect of it will determine which. He said, you cannot be neutral in this work of the gospel. You're either for the gospel or against it. And prayer or the neglect of it will determine which. Does your prayer life, does my prayer life reflect that we're for the gospel? We're for the gospel. If we come to the Lord in prayer tonight, let us take this petition to him tonight, praying that in coming days the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's stand for a word of prayer. We'll change our positions. Our Father and our God in heaven, we rejoice, O God, in our great God. We think of the great impact that the gospel made in this city, how God changed the lives of men. And Father, we cry to thee that thou wilt do it again. For the gospel's sake, moved by thy spirit, and worked by the power of God, we offer prayer in and through our Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. I apologize for those...